Again, thanks for being here this morning. We're going to continue in our series on prayer and fasting. And today I'm talking about sacrifice. Everybody say sacrifice. Now, I know right off the bat, you're like, wow, Ivan, you sound really excited about that word. That's a hard word to get excited about, right? How many of you just love to sacrifice things, right? I mean, that's not generally to go, man, today I'm going to sacrifice. It's going to be amazing, right? We don't get up like that. We don't work like that. But today I want us to begin to get a different mindset about the benefits of sacrificial living and how when we sacrifice things in our own heart and life, how God can do things that we never thought were possible. But sometimes it requires sacrifice. So a couple of weeks ago, we began our discussion on prayer and fasting, and I just want to give a recap. And we talked about the biblical principle of fasting, and we agreed that you can fast many things. You can fast food, you can fast drinks, you can fast the internet, you can fast Starbucks, you can fast the computer, all those things. But for our purposes in the month of September, we're going to get down to the basics of biblical fasting, and that is fasting food while we pray in replacement of that time. And so as we're moving through this, just be reminded when I'm talking about fasting, specifically for this time period, I'm talking about fasting food. Yes, it's great to fast from all these other things. All right, you can't drink Starbucks every single day for 365 days of the year. You need a break in there somewhere, okay? All my Starbucks people. I mean, you need a break from electronics. You need a break from social media. We all need those things. But for our purposes, for the month of September, we're taking a step towards God in a for real way of fasting and giving up very sustenance of our bodies. Now, look at me. You know I like to eat, okay? If you've been around me, you know that. I love it. It's my favorite recreation. And so as we're moving forward in that, we know that God is going to speak to us as we sacrifice. So I want to discuss with you this morning and remind you of what our purpose is. Our purpose for this spiritual awakening or renewal for the month of September is that God would take our church to the next level. You say, well, Ivan, what do you mean by that? Well, if I had it laid out in specifics, I would be more than happy to share it with you, but I don't. But I feel like God is leading us to a new place in what we do in our ministries, in our outreach to the city, and how we can impact our families, our neighborhoods, and ultimately the city for the kingdom of God. So pray with me about that, that God will take us to the next level. And as an individual, on an individual level, that God will give us an opportunity to experience him like we never had before. Now, if I went around this room this morning, many of you would say, well, I've experienced God in this way, and I've seen God move this way. But we want to have a personal experience with the power of God. And that may look very different in your life or in my life, but that is our prayer as individuals, that God will do something in us that we never thought possible. And so when we kicked off this series, we started with repentance. Everybody say repentance. And we talked about how repentance is not just coming down to the altar and asking God to forgive us for something and feeling really good and going out and having lunch. And 3 hours later, we're doing the same thing that we asked God for forgiveness for just a few hours earlier. That's not what repentance is. Repentance is having a change of heart about something that results in a change of our mind about something that results in a change in our behaviors in something. So we have to have a change of heart, a change of mind, and then a change of action. And so we're praying that God will help us as we repent of things in our lives that are not healthy for us or things that go against God's word. And we also recognize that we have to return to the Lord with all of our hearts. And today that's a big part of what we're going to discuss is that giving God everything we have. See, it's easy when we're in a group like this to talk to one another and, you know, and ask each other, hey, does God have your heart? Oh, of course he does, brother. Of course he does. And we get that Christian tone, you know, of course, and we share about all the mighty things we're doing for the kingdom of God. But behind the scenes, when nobody else is around, the question is, does God fully have your heart? When nobody else is around. And so we're going to discuss some of that this morning. So we want to continue in this series with the word sacrifice. So what does it mean to sacrifice? Now, I know some of you are thinking about movies you've seen, and I'm not talking, we're not going to have an altar up here and someone bound on it and a great sword, and that's not what I'm talking about, okay? If you saw Raiders of the Lost Ark, we're not going to have one of those moments here. That's not what I'm discussing. I'm discussing the sacrifice of something, a loss of something to achieve the greater good in something. Usually giving up something. It's all right, Miss Sharon. It happens to all of us. It was just your turn. So as we sacrifice our cell phones and turn on that, A sacrifice is usually something that we give up that will better us in the long run. I want to read to you what Webster says. Webster defines sacrifice as the act of giving up something that you want to keep. I love that part. I've never heard that in when we define sacrifice. It's the act of giving up something that you want to keep. I want to be honest with you. I want to keep all the food I can. Anybody besides Ivan, right? Dessert. I want to keep. Thank you for those folks that are agreeing by that. Amen. I want to keep it. I don't want to give things up. And when I have my time, you know what I'm talking about? Your time. I want to keep my time. You know, I want to keep it. And I want to do the things that I want to do, that I enjoy, that I find solace and fun doing. But Webster says that it's the act of giving up something that you want to keep, especially in order to get something or to do something else or to help someone. So, man, put that in context this morning spiritually. I'm going to give up something that I want to keep in order to get something else. And I'm going to add these two words. Something that possibly I need. What do I need? And then when we start working towards giving up things in our lives, we have to recognize what we need is Jesus. And what we need is Christ to move within us in ways that we never thought were possible. So here's the question to ask yourself this morning. When was the last time you sacrificed something for a greater purpose? When's the last time you sacrificed something for a greater purpose? When's the last time you gave something up for someone else? Or in order to receive something different, you gave something else up. And now I know you're thinking, Ivan, you don't understand. I am a sacrificial lamb. Right? I know. That's what you're thinking to yourself. I am the epitome of sacrifice, and I'm just a giver, and I give, and I give, and I always... Okay, yes, sure you do. Okay, I'm with you. I know you're thinking, you don't understand, Ivan. I have children, so I give and give. Where are my parents at, right? Yes, they're all nodding their heads. I give and I give. I even gave the last Pop-Tart this morning. I was a sacrificial lamb in that, right? Amen. I'm always giving. We may feel like that sometimes, but what God is saying to us is this. What are you giving up so that I can move within your life? What are you doing this morning? So I want to share some things with you as we prepare for our 30-day fast. I want you to hear the words coming from Daniel. Daniel chapter 6. Go with me this morning if you have your Bibles, your phones, your iPads. If you don't, you can follow along on the screen. Daniel chapter 6. We're going to talk about someone who understood the ability to sacrifice. Daniel 6, 1 through 10. It pleased Darius to appoint satraps to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them, one whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. And now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. And at this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel and his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so, and they could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So these administrators, the satraps, went around as a group to the king, and they said, "May King Darius live forever. The administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. And now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. And three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. Now, I share this passage with you this morning because I want you to understand the difficult situation that Daniel was placed in. Either change his beliefs, change his faith, change what he lived his life for, or follow the will and word of God. Does anyone feel that eerily sounds familiar to what's going on in our world today? See, we think all the things that we're seeing in the news and all the stuff is something new. Trust me, folks, that's not new. God's word has been trying to be squashed for years, for thousands of years. And God keeps on rolling. And he keeps on bringing people to the surface that will stand for what they believe in their faith in him. Laws enacted that go against the word of God. And the court say one must follow. See, this happened thousands of years ago. It's nothing new. But there are people who will stand up just like Daniel and sacrifice for the cause of Christ and the cause of the kingdom and for the God they put their faith in. As they put their faith in God, Daniel, he chose to follow this faith. He chose to stand. He didn't say, you know what? Okay, so here's what I'll do. This is kind of a problem. So what I'll do, God, you understand, you know, the king, he's kind of like the king. And so God, like for 30 days, I'm just going to kind of be on a hiatus from you, God. And I'm just going to follow what he said because it is in writing, God. It's kind of like the law of God. So Daniel didn't do that. The scriptures tell us that as soon as it was decreed, Daniel just went home, opened the windows, and started praying. He was like, God, you see these foolish people, these laws that they're making. God, I'm going to continue to pray. I'm going to continue to worship. I'm going to continue to do these things. And even though the law said that he would do it, Daniel trusted the providential hand to take care of him from God Almighty. How many of you know the rest of the story? What happened to Daniel? Lion's den. If you don't know the story, you should go home and read it today. As Daniel was caught praying, as Daniel was caught going against the law and sacrificing his own self to spend time praying, he was caught. In this passage, I love it because the king knew that Daniel was from the Lord. The king knew that God had used Daniel in a mighty way, that he had wisdom that no one else could find throughout the kingdom. And you can find that beginning with Daniel 1, 2, 3. Find out all the things that Daniel had done. But he placed his trust and faith in God. And see, it happened long before this incident. Maybe some of you recognize these names. Anybody remember King Nebuchadnezzar? King Nebuchadnezzar had grown haughty against God. And what I mean by that is he had a high-minded spirit. And he didn't feel like he needed God. And so God sent Daniel to speak to him in Daniel chapter 3 and to tell him that though you have raised yourself up, God is going to bring you down. And that the end of your kingdom is at hand. And it happened. In Daniel chapter 5, he tells Nebuchadnezzar's son, King Belshazzar, that his days have been numbered. That his life will come to an end. And that passage tells us that very night, his life came to an end. See, Daniel didn't shy away from difficult situations. I don't know about you, but how many of you just love a good confrontation? Anybody out there? Most of us don't love confrontation. Most of us do everything we can to avoid confrontation. Daniel was amazing. He would walk right into the king and say, I was speaking to God this morning, and this is what he said. And at other times, the kings would go get Daniel. They would find him. They would be reminded of his wisdom and his ability to interpret dreams. Anybody remember the story of the handwriting on the wall? You can find that in the first parts of Daniel. And he comes in, and no one can understand what was being said. And Daniel comes in and tells the king, you've been found wanting. You've been weighed and you've been found wanting. And your reign is coming to an end because you didn't put the Lord God first. Daniel was famous for sacrificing his own well-being for the kingdom of God. Daniel was no stranger to the danger that came about standing firmly in his faith. But here's why, folks. Daniel had experienced the power of God on a personal level. Daniel understood what it meant to hear from God and understand that he had to continue to follow into that line of faith that he knew to be true because he'd experienced the power of God and he had heard the voice of God. He was willing to sacrifice his own life. He was willing to go into dangerous situations and give up his own life because he believed so much in God. So I want to pose a question this morning. Have you ever asked this to yourself? What do I need to do to please God? Have you ever asked that question? What do I need to do as an individual to please God? And many times when we ask that question, there's a voice that comes in from the back that says, you can't please God. You remember the way you used to live? The clubbing, the partying, the drinking, the drugs. Man, the way you used to do things, you can't please God. Don't raise your hand, but many of you know what I'm talking about. And then you still ask the question again as you're contemplating and God speaking to you on the other side saying, you can please God. The Holy Spirit is speaking saying, that's old stuff. God's wanting to do new stuff. And that voice still rises up and says, you can't please God. And the war, the spiritual battle that rages within our minds and our hearts sometimes. But the question remains this morning, what can I do to please God? And sometimes the issue is this, we're scared to ask that question. There's a good article floating around the internet, I know some of our worship team has shared it, about the songs that we sing and how we sing some of these songs sometimes that we really need to step back and go, do I really want that to happen in my life, or am I just singing a song? Because how many of you this morning, when God calls you down and we begin to pray and he says, I want you to go to Africa, you're going to go home today and sell yourself and go, I'm going to Africa. Woo, yeah, let's go, God. I know that's extreme, but how about this? How about God says, I want you to start a ministry working with homeless people, and I want you to start feeding them, and I want you to start clothing them. And you're like, oh, hang on now, God, you know, I'm really good with children, but homeless people, you know, God, that's not really for me. You know, Brother Ivan's better with that, and Adam's really good with homeless people. I mean, you've seen him, right? I mean, he's really good in doing that kind of stuff. And we start going down the list of why we can't sacrifice for God. So we should be careful about what we ask God for or what we say, because God may require of us something that we're not really willing to do. Listen, I've shared this story over and over and over. When we started praying about this church 10 years ago, I will tell you, if you would have said to me at that point, and my wife can tell you, when we talked about this, I was like, I think God has the wrong guy. I'm getting like mixed signals here, because that was never my goal. That was never my dream. That was never what I saw myself doing. And as God began to speak into my life and bring things to fruition, I had to step back and listen. And here we are today. But it hasn't been an easy road. If you think this is an easy road, please just come spend a week with me. It's not an easy road. But God asks us to do things sometimes. Or what about this? What is God asking us to stop doing? That might even be a better question. What is God asking us to give up for the cause of the kingdom of God? Man, it may be our speech and our language, how we talk. It may be bitterness that we hold inside. So every conversation that we have that comes out, and people around us don't want to be anything like us, because if that's what a Christian looks like, no thank you. God may be speaking to us today that he wants us to lay those things down so that he can work through us. He can work in us. He can work on us to make us into the image of Jesus Christ. So here's another question this morning. Are you really ready to do what it takes to fully follow Christ? Are you willing? Are you ready and willing to do whatever it takes to fully follow Christ? Are you willing to sacrifice this morning? When we talk about sacrifice, one of the greatest holds on our lives is money. Listen, church, there's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with being wealthy, not one thing. The problem is when you don't have money and money has you. That's where the problem is. When money has you, and that's all you can think about in your life is, I got to make the next dime, and I need to do this and do that. And you have to sacrifice where God could use you and change you and make you an instrument that he can use, because you're too busy making money or worrying about making money. Or maybe it's something else. That's one we always love to talk about, because it's such an easy thing, because wealth so often drives so much of what we do in this life. But what about self-sufficiency? We're our control freaks this morning that just want to be in control of everything. And oh, God, I appreciate it. I'll let you know if I need you. I thank you for being nearby. I'll call you up. And we just go through life making decisions, and we never consult with God. Or maybe a relationship that we need to let go of. Or a job. Man, we were doing great, and we get this job, and we've thrown everything we have into this job, and we can't even make it to church on Sundays because, man, I got to get to work because I have a few hours I can take care of this, and I got these big plans, and this is about to happen, and I'm so excited about it. What is God asking us to give up so that he can do something within us? Or a hobby? That was a touchy one, right? Well, hang on, Ivan. Don't be talking about hobbies now, because I mean, I'm a golfer, or I'm a hunter, or I like to fish, or whatever. I like to crochet, and Pinterest is my friend. All right. And we spend hour after hour after hour where we could be doing something that's more productive for the kingdom of God. But we're so busy doing all this other stuff that we can't hear what God is saying because we're closed-minded. And what God is trying to say today is, I need you to have ears to hear and eyes to see what I'm trying to do. God, speak to us this morning. My last story I want to share with you this morning comes from Genesis 22. A long time ago, God tested the faith of a man named Abraham. Does anybody remember Abraham? It's an incredible story. And what God asked Abraham to do was this, to unclench his hold on his prized possession. God asked Abraham, I want you to let go of this one thing and give it to me. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, one thing. Okay, that's probably not that hard. Does anybody remember what that one thing was? His son. His son. I want to read the scripture with you this morning. I'm going to read them quickly. 1 through 12. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham. And Abraham said, here I am. And then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. I know you're thinking right now, did that just say sacrifice your son? That's what it said. Bear with me, okay? Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. And he took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for a burnt offering, he set out for the place that God had told him about. And on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. And he said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. And Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. And when they reached the place that God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Man, what a story of extremes. I don't know about you this morning, but when I read this, it just almost pushes me to the edge of what in the world is going on in the story. When I think about my two beautiful children and how much I love them and care for them, that what God would call to me and say, hey, I want you to take your oldest down and sacrifice her to me. And I know you'd be like, what? Right? Because this is real stuff. This is where it really, you know, I mean, I might be able to take your kids and do it, right? Right? I'm kidding, folks. I'm kidding. Don't put that on YouTube. Crazy pastor wants to sacrifice kids. Please do not do that. But can you imagine? Can you imagine what was going through Abraham's mind? All these, if you don't know the story, go back and read it. All these years, he had prayed for a child. He prayed for that son, and his wife was unable to bear a child. And God promised to him that he would bear a son. And when he finally did, when you go back and read the first parts of this in Genesis, even Sarah laughs about it. She's like, how could someone my age be nursing a baby? This is crazy. It's a great story. And then here God turns around. The one thing he provided that he promised he would provide, he's like, now, hey, bring it back to me. I'm going to take it back. Bring it back to me. And in Abraham's mind, you know, one of two things was happening. Either Abraham was going, oh, my Lord, I'm going to lose my mind. What? I can't do this. This is my son. Look at him. He's beautiful. He looks just like me. Strapping young lad. He's going to be an awesome dad one day. He's going to grow up. He's going to do great things, greater things than I've ever done. And you want me to do what, God? But the scripture says this. You have no account of Abraham questioning. What you have is an account of Abraham preparing to take care of his father's business. And as he goes through the process, he's getting things ready. Even Isaac says, hey, Dad, you know, I know we've done this before. And I love to spend time with you, but where's the lamb? You know, I think we forgot the sacrifice. And, you know, we're getting close and there's stuff going on. I mean, is God going to be pleased with that? And Abraham's like, son, God will provide. Man, I have to trust this morning as I read this passage that in Abraham's mind, he was so convinced from his experiences with God. He was so convinced that he knew God would provide. And then to the utter extreme, if he didn't, his experience with God led him to the place that he'd be willing to give back his most prized possession. Well, I know that's hard for us to swallow this morning. It's hard for us to even imagine. And thank God he doesn't require the sacrifice anymore. He has given Jesus as the ultimate sacrifice, and we would never even have to be considered in this situation. But Abraham believed in God. Listen, sometimes God asks us to unclench our hold on our most prized possession. This morning, God is asking you, what do you have so tight a grip on that you can't hear me calling? What has so consumed your time and your energy that you don't love me like you love that? Listen to me, church. God is reaching to us. And he's asking us, are you okay with making sacrifices for my kingdom? Are you okay with making sacrifices so that I can do something in your life that you never even thought was possible? Because the principle of God's word is this. You can't outgive God. When we give to God, he gives back over and over and over. When we sacrifice, God reaches to us in ways that we never dreamed of. Listen, do you love God enough to make sacrifices for him? Now, I know in a room this size, all of us are in a different place in our faith journey. All of us are. And some of you are sitting here this morning going, I have no idea what he's talking about. Sacrifice? What? Man, I'm just trying to get up and read a 30-second devotion in the mornings, and that's where I am. Listen, no judgment here. That's okay, because that's better than using those 30 seconds for the things you were using it for before. If that's where you are, there's no judgment here. All of us are in a different place in our walk, and I'm praying with you that God will take you to that point, that you're able to give up things and sacrifice things so that God can speak to you in ways that you never thought were before. Listen, this is why we're entering into this time of prayer and fasting, because we believe that God wants to do something amazing right here. That God wants to do something amazing in your life, in your heart, in your mind, in your home. It's something that you have been troubled by or bothered by or something you've been praying for. God wants to do that work. But sometimes the only way to see it happen is through sacrifice and prayer, fasting. Devoting ourselves requires sacrifice. And giving up things requires sacrifice. My prayer today is that you will ask God to give you a willing heart and a mind that is ready to accept whatever he wants to do within you. As I'm wrapping things up this morning, I want to pose a couple of questions. I wonder today, what is God asking of you? I wonder today, what is God asking you to let go of that grip on? That grip that you have so tight. What is God asking you to unclench and let go of? I wonder what God is trying to do within your heart as a believer. I wonder this morning if you have ears that are prepared to hear and hearts that are ready to receive. Listen, you can't outgive God. You stand to gain so much more than you could ever give up. You can't outgive God. Maybe it's a habit today that God wants to take away from your life. Maybe it's something how you used to de-stress, self-medicating or alcohol. Or maybe it's you just get in a room and close the door and you just shut the world out. And God's saying, I want to be what you take in. That you don't have to shut out anything else. Just take me in. Let me be the grip upon your heart. What is God asking of us today? Listen, the principle is this. Give up what keeps you from following Jesus so that you can trust your life fully to Him. Give it up. I want to read Psalm 37 this morning, then we're going to pray and we're going to move forward. Psalm 37 and 1 says, do not fret because of those who are evil and are envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Listen to me, church. This is a promise from God. As we trust in Him and we give to Him the areas of our life that He wants to take, this is His promise to us. That He will take care of us. He will pour into our lives. And He will make our righteousness shine like the sun. So be it this morning. Shall we pray together?